Amen. All right, open your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. In chapter number 9, Jesus sends out his disciples, his 12 disciples, to go and preach throughout the country. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, he appoints 70 others. You read verse 1, and he sent them out two by two before his face to every city and every place whither he himself would come. So they went out to announce that he would be coming to get ready. I like that message. We still preach it today. Amen. Get ready. He's coming. And when he sent them out, as he did with the original 12, he gave them power. Mm-hmm. Power to heal. Power over demonic forces. And they went out and they did many wonderful things. And they returned in verse number 17. I want to begin there. And here's what they said. And the 70 returned again with, what's that word?
Joy.
Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to unto us through thy name.
Yeah.
Now it's interesting to note that if you read the entire Old Testament, you'll never find an occasion of a casting out of devils. Never occurred until Jesus appeared on the scene. And whenever they saw him, they said, we know who you are. Mm-hmm. Have you come to torment us before the time? Amen. But he gave them, imparted unto them his power, which is what he does for his people. And he said unto them in verse 18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. A lot we could say about that, but that's not the message tonight. He said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of, singular, the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Boy, what would it be like to know that you are going on a mission and you will be absolutely invincible? Well, that's what he's telling them right here. But now notice how this thing turns. In verse 20, he says, notwithstanding what I've already said, in this rejoice not. Now, they just came back and the scripture says there that they were full of joy, weren't they? But he says, in all of this that you have experienced and that I have spoken, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice for this reason. Why? Because your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
Wow. Well, here a few weeks ago, I got to thinking about my name being written in heaven. And I mean, I'm very familiar with that scripture, but I just never got to thinking about it like I did. And I asked myself the question, well, if my name is written in heaven, where is it written in heaven? And I got to pondering on that and thinking about it, amen. Now, if you go to Revelation 21 later, John sees that holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven from God. And then he's given a description of what he sees of that city, and he says this about it. He said it has 12 gates, and at those gates are 12 angels. But written upon those gates are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Who opened the gate for the Gentile to be saved? Friend, the Jew did. Amen. God used them to do that. Now, they were very reluctant, amen, for many, many years. But God finally got somebody that do it for him named Paul, amen. And so upon those gates of that city are written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. But then he said something else. He said that city had 12 foundations. And upon those 12 foundations were written the names of the 12 apostles. Son, so any of those tribes or any of the apostles could say, my name is written in heaven. The Lord told me that it was, and I know where it's written. The tribes could say it's written upon the gates. The apostles could say it's written upon the foundations. Amen. Now, when you think about those 12 foundations, do you really believe that the name Judas Iscariot is on one? Why? Because he was a devil from the beginning. So somebody else's name has to be there. It's the Apostle Paul. Amen.
Yep.
He's the only other one in Scripture that is called an apostle, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was called personally by him. Now, I know they voted in Acts chapter 1 to replace Judas with a man named Matthias. But when you pass that chapter, you'll never read his name again. You don't find him anymore. You see, that was their choice. Don't roll the dice when it comes to God. Just wait on God. He'll give you somebody to take his place. And that's exactly what he did. Amen.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to stumble on that, but I did anyway. But where is my name written in heaven? Where is your name written in heaven? Well, I'm quickly going to give you four places where I believe that perhaps our name would be written in heaven. First of all, I believe that my name is written in the book of the registration of heaven. Now, when I was in England, they would put up notices at the school, because all of the sporting events were handled not by the school itself, but by others who were outside. But they put up a notice that said, registration for football, for soccer, for baseball, and you would have to go put your name on that registration, which indicated that you wanted to participate or take part in that activity, amen. That you were going to be a part of it. And so, I believe that there's a registration in heaven that our name's upon that describes our citizenship. Now, I want you to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 right quick. Let's read a verse there. The Bible makes it pretty clear that our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. But I think it also declares unto us that our citizenship is in heaven. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 19. Let's see, we may have to read the one before. Yeah, let's read verse number 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and... What's that next word?
Foreign.
Now what is a foreigner? A foreigner is somebody... Now it's hard to talk about this today. Somebody hates you, call you a hater, a bigot, racist, any name you can think of. In order to be a citizen of a nation, you cannot be a foreigner. When you come and become a citizen of that nation, you are no longer supposed to be a foreigner, but now you're supposed to be identified by that nation of which your citizenship resides. Amen. And he says we are no more what? Foreigners. But what's that word? Fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Hallelujah. Woo, isn't it wonderful to know that your citizenship is in heaven and your name has been put on that registration in heaven that declares us to be citizens of that glorious place. Now, my brother, the youngest brother that's already passed away, he was born in England. So at that time, he was an individual that had a dual citizenship. As he got older, he could have chose to remain a citizen of the United States, or he could have also been a citizen of Great Britain where he was born. Amen? Amen. And so a part of that citizenship that is required is that you have to have a record of birth. Probably somewhere in a drawer at your house, you have what is known as a birth certificate. When I signed up for baseball in England and registered on that list, one thing that I had to provide when I came to the base to become a part of the team, I had to bring my birth certificate. Why? I know why, but what I don't understand is why the chaplain got them. But he did. He didn't coach ball or nothing. But he got them. But the bottom line was, guess what? He lost my birth certificate. I went years without a birth certificate. When I was hired at the fire department, I gave them my passport because it was equally as important. It was just not too long ago that I got another copy of my birth certificate. They sent me the first one, and it was wrong. I said, that ain't how you spell my name, so I had to go back and get another one. But in order to be a citizen of a country, you have to have a record of your birth.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? If you, now I want to tell you something. I was there when I was born, but I cannot testify to what took place because I can't remember it. So you know what? I'm glad somebody wrote it down. Amen.
Right.
Huh? Well, you know what? I'm glad that being born again spiritually doesn't have to be that way. Now, you may not remember the day nor the hour. I don't remember. Mine was about right around midnight. So it could have been the 14th or the 15th of April, 1972. I'm not sure, but I remember it very plainly because I did remember what happened that night. Amen. And what I did not know what happened that night as I was born again was that my name was written down as a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
Now, even though I was born in America and was a citizen of America physically, spiritually, I no longer fit in.
That's right.
To the very country that I was born in. You know, that's what I don't understand about today. People gripe about this. I love that. Just everything's got to please me. I just don't understand it. Let me, can I say unto you that if I knew a Christian nation today that was a Christian nation, proud of it, and pleased to identify as it, I'd move there.
Yeah.
And if I was a Muslim, I'd move to the Middle East. Oh, you hateful dog. I'm not trying to be hateful. What I'm telling you is, I'm a foreigner. I don't fit in spiritually anymore. I love America. I love living here. But what I see happening with reference to relationship with God in this land is driving me over the edge.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen.
That's true.
And so, our name is written in heaven. Well, where is it written? Well, it's written in something known as the Book of Life. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15 of a scripture that you're very familiar with. It says that I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 15. Well, that's verse 12 that I just quoted to you. Revelation 20, 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the, now notice this is a plural word, the books were open, and another book was open. You know, the way that's worded, that has to tell us that this is a very special book. And that other book was open, which is the Book of Life. Amen. Now, the most important book of all of these books is that Book of Life, because within that Book of Life are those that have had their supernatural, spiritual birth written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll find it called that in Revelation 13. Sometimes called the book of life and sometimes called the Lamb's book of life. And so it says here that if you're not found written in that book, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now at that point in time, it really does not matter what's written in the rest of those books, does it? Son, if your name is not written in that book and you're not a citizen identifying with that country, then son, you're not going to be allowed to stay there.
That's it. Amen. Exactly.
You know what Jesus said? He said that folks were going to come from the east and the west and the north and the south and sit down in the kingdom of God, and the children of the kingdom would be cast out. He's talking about the Jewish people and those that rejected Christ. Amen. The important thing is the record of your birth that is written in the Lamb's book of life. But the another important thing about being a citizen of a country is not only the record of your birth, but a relationship of blood. You see, my name's not the only name on my birth certificate. Who else is on there? I don't know about everybody else today. We live in strange times. But my mama and my daddy,
amen,
their names are on my birth certificate. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I have a relationship by citizenship by blood.
Amen.
Glory
to
God.
Good word, brother. Yeah.
And you know why I'm a citizen, was a citizen of America? Not only because I happened to be born here, I wasn't born in heaven, remember that, but because my parents were citizens of America.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you something. John said there are some things that testify in heaven. He said one of them is the blood. We are related to Jesus Christ by His blood. Now these bodies have been adopted. You may not have ever studied that. I've been born again in my spirit, but this body's got to be adopted. You see, it's just not doing too good. Amen. I don't have time to get into all that. And so, let's continue on. But if I'm going to be a citizen of faith, I have to have a record of my birth, a relationship of blood, and I have to have a residential boundary. In other words, I cannot go down to Ecuador and say, hey, I'm a citizen of America. I have a right to come down here and do what I want to do. You know what they tell me? Your laws don't have any authority or any effect on what happens down here. We just might shoot you and eat you. You don't know. So that's how it works. You see, I have a residence. One day a fellow said, Lord, I'll follow you. He said, I want you to know something. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. You know, the first time Jesus got up and preached in his hometown church, when he got through, they took him out to the cliffs to try to shove him off of the cliffs. From that point on, his headquarters was not in Nazareth, his hometown, but in Capernaum in Peter's house. And when it mentions the house, that's where he's at. He had to leave his home. Why? Son, the citizens of his home rejected him. And he had to leave those boundaries. Glory to God. I want to tell you something. There may be some boundaries down here that limit us, but I want to tell you something, just what we sang about. Hallelujah. He sets you free. Glory
Amen.
To God. And there's a city. And that citizenship is directly related to that city. Turn to Revelation 22 while you're right there. Let's read a verse. I preached on this some at the prison last night. This verse, not this message. And what this is what I call the final warning in the Bible. And the final warning you find in the Bible is to not mess with God's Word. You don't add to it. You do not take away. Now look at verse number 19. He said, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the, what?
Book
of life. But that not only. And out of the holy city. So you see, the citizenship and the name that is written in the book of life are directly related together. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
You imagine that day when we go to that city. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, Miss Carol, my mother, and a lot of your folks, they've already got a glimpse of that city.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Huh? God called Abraham. He said, Abraham, I want you to come go to a place I'll show you. Pack your bag, get gone, leave your family. He went out, the Bible says, not knowing where he was going. But God showed him the land. He was going to give it to him, but he never received it in his life. But he saw it afar off. And he came to the conclusion, the fathers of the faithful did, that they were strangers and pilgrims in this earth. Brothers and sisters, what's important is not your earthly citizenship. What's important, I thank God for mine. What is important is your heavenly citizenship.
Amen.
I believe our name is written in the registration book of heaven.
Amen.
I also believe it's written in the reservation book in heaven.
Yeah.
Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1.
Yeah.
Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1. I like this. Ooh. Man, we've got to hurry. Look here. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse number 3. Listen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, here's that birth record now, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? Read the next verse. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. And tell me that next word.
Reserved
in heaven,
yeah,
for
yeah,
you. Amen. Boy, it was just here a while back. My best friend in Mississippi, Jack Taylor, had got a bunch of furniture and stuff. He was giving Donovan and Ann for Elizabeth for the house. And so I said, well, I need a truck to get it in. So I called up Budget Rent-A-Truck. No, I didn't either. I went online. And there it was. And I filled out the thing, said when I needed it and where I needed it. And they said, came up a thing, said, print this out. Your truck is reserved in Long Beach, Mississippi at a specific place of business. And it'll be available at this time for you. I said, good. All right. I called my buddy Jack Taylor. All right, I'm coming to get that stuff. I got in my car and Ann with me because somebody had to drive the car back. And we're headed down there. And I got down there and me and Jack went over there to get the truck. The place wasn't even open. My reservation said they were open till noon, and I was supposed to pick up a truck at 10. It's 10 o'clock, and the doors are locked. It said my truck is reserved for me. But guess what? It weren't reserved neither. Son, I called them up from Gulfport, Mississippi, and you know what his response was? Oh, you didn't read the fine print. I said, oh, the fine print. That's all you got to say, buddy. That just tells me that's your way of having the freedom to lie when you want to. You see, I didn't have a reservation, and I was mad. I done drove 200 miles. When I got home, the next credit card statement that I got, they had charged me $50 for not showing up. Now, I want to ask you something. You think they got away with that? No, they did not. I took care of that. But the point I'm making is you cannot trust in the reservations that man makes for you.
That's it.
But he said that you and I have something that is reserved in heaven for us. Somewhere up there, son, in that city, there's a part of that city that's mine.
Yeah,
And son, my name's written right down there, reserved for Donnie Murphy. Very poor excuse for a resident here, but we'll have him because of Christ. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Reserved, signed, sealed, and delivered. Glory to God.
Boy, that's good.
Amen. Hey, you see, that has to do with our inheritance.
Amen.
The Bible says that we know that we're the sons of God by the witness of the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And it says in Romans, if that's so, Romans chapter 8, the first part of the chapter, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
That's it.
Woo!
Amen.
Glory to God. You know what? I can and I have and I probably still will mess up a whole lot of things in this life. But I want to tell you, this is something I'm not going to be able to mess up. Amen.
Amen.
Because somebody else has secured it and has reserved it for
it,
me.
Amen.
Now, if you're going to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, then the implication is there must be a will. Go back to Hebrews chapter 8 right quick. I'm trying to hurry. We're going to go here in just a minute. And just shut her down. Hebrews chapter number 8. I'm sorry, chapter 9. Wrong page. And verse number 15. And for this cause, he, Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of, what's that word?
Death.
For the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal, what's that word?
Inheritance.
You see, the first covenant, the first testament had to do with an earthly inheritance. What did he promise the children of Israel?
A land.
Do you know that just because it was an earthly inheritance promised by God, it will come to pass?
Amen.
It has not come to pass. They came close, never had it all because of unbelief. But during the millennial time, they'll all inherit that land. All right, I got to go. Let's carry on. Verse 16, for where a testament is, or another word for a testament is a will, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. You see what he's saying there? He's saying that my inheritance is described and defined in the New Testament that Jesus Christ has written.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And we receive that inheritance not based upon what we do in life, but based upon His promise and His will.
Huh? Amen.
And so there has to be a testament for inheritance. There has to be a testator for inheritance. And then there has to be a time designated for the inheritance.
Right.
You see, the house I live in belongs to me and Ann. It's got our name written down on the deed. But I happen to have another document that says that when me and her are gone, our house is his.
Mm-hmm.
But now that house ain't his right now. He don't come in there and tell me what to do. It's my house. Huh?
Right.
You see, it becomes effective after the death of the one who wrote the will.
Right.
Romans chapter 7 says that a woman is bound unto her husband until he dies. Then she's set free from him.
Right.
You see, the law declares that because I am a part of that family and an heir of God and a joint heir of Christ, that I have an inheritance based upon the possession of the testator. What does the Bible say is his? All things were made by him. And without him was not anything that is made made. Glory to God. Our inheritance is unlimited. It is infinite. And therefore it is eternal.
Amen.
My name is written on the registration of heaven. It's written on a reservation in heaven. Next one's going to seem kind of strange. It's also written on a rock in heaven. Let's go to the book of Revelation again, chapter number 2. Revelation chapter 2, the Lord is sending a letter to a church known as Pergamos. Pergamos. Look at verse number 17. He always closes out with a call for repentance and gives a promise for the overcomer. And in verse 17 of chapter 2, in writing the church at Pergamos, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now look, even though it was written to that specific church, everyone else can get in on it and learn the truth about it, right? "To the churches, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a," what? "White stone, and in the stone a new," "name." And what is that name? How has it got on that rock? It was written. Amen. So it's written in heaven. "A white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it." Our name's written in a rock in heaven. But the name that is written on it is not Donnie, Raymond, Ike, Margaret, Emily. What is that name, preacher? I don't know. And you don't know yours either. But he said right here, there's going to come a time when we overcome that he's going to give us that white stone. And in that white stone, there is that name. And he said, nobody else knows that name. Now, what does that imply? It implies one thing: personal relationship. Only two people know what that name is: Jesus and me. Same goes for you. I can't call you by that name. Only one can call you by that name is Him. Amen. And the implication is that He will have a personal relationship with His children, one by one. Nobody else gets in. Glory to God. Jesus said, when you pray, get in your closet in the secret. Amen. He condemned the Pharisees. Oh, you'll go down to the synagogue, you'll stand on the corner, and you'll pray long prayers, and you'll put on a show, but you don't really have anything for me. You're just showing out, and you got your reward.
That's it.
Jesus said, when you pray, get in your closet where nobody hears you or sees you, and you get one-on-one with the Father. And He said, the Father that heareth in secret will reward you openly. Huh? Glory to God. I cannot imagine saying, "Hey, Jesus," and him saying, "Good morning," whatever it is. Ignorant. Ugly. Well, I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, it will be suitable and it'll be good enough for me. Because you see, that's something me and him's got. You can't get in on that. And I can't get in on yours, amen. It's a personal relationship that involves a new name.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you something. That's not something that's new to Scripture. When God called the man that we know as Abraham, his name was actually Abram. Get out of that country. Leave your kinfolk. Come to a place I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
And he followed him. But one day when God came down and made a covenant with him, he gave him a new name, and that name was Abraham.
Yeah.
Now, the name Abram means the father, an exalted father. Abram was a prominent man in secular life. That was the name given him. But God said, "I'm going to call you Abraham," which means father of a multitude. He said, "Your seed will be as the stars of heaven. They will be as innumerable as the sands on the seashore. I'm going to commune with you as Abraham." He didn't say, "I think I'm going to court. Change my name." No, God said, "I got a name for you, son."
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
One day there was a rascal and his name was Jacob. He was never about anything good except doing what mama wanted him to do.
Yeah.
And he was a real character, amen.
Yeah, he was.
But one day, when his brother said, "I'm going to kill that boy," and he began to run, mama said, "You go to the house of your uncle, my brother." You know, mama didn't know it at that time. She'd never see her boy again. She'd die before he ever got back. But anyway, on that way there, son, he found a rock and he made a pillar out of that pillar, the Bible says. And he saw this ladder. And he saw the angels of God ascending, descending. He said, "God, if you'll take care of me where I'm headed, I don't know, and you'll bring me back to this place," said God, "I'll serve you," and he even said, "I'll tithe."
Yeah.
Amen. And so he spent many years in the house of Laban. But one day the time came for him to come back with his new bride. And he stopped at that place, Bethel. And all of a sudden, out between the bushes jumped this fella and jumped on him and began to wrestle with him. Jacob thought he'd been attacked by somebody, might have been Esau. I don't know what went through his mind, but it didn't take him long to realize this wasn't no ordinary man. He said, "I'm wrestling with God here." He said, "I can imagine him saying, since I'm probably going to die as a result of this, I'm going to keep hanging on to him. I ain't going to let him go."
Amen.
The angel, God said, "Let me go." He said, "I ain't letting you go till you bless me." He said, "Here you go, son. You're no longer going to be known as Jacob," which means a trickster, a deceiver. "But you're going to be known as Israel." Who's that? A prince with God. One who has power and influence with God. Wow! Amen! And after that, the only time that God called the children of Israel the sons of Jacob was when they was acting more like Jacob than they did Israel. They were known as the sons of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, not Jacob. Amen! Son, if Esau had done the right thing, that God would give him a new name. Amen.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I've got a name written in heaven. I don't know what it is, but I know where it is. It's in a white stone. And you know what? I have a personal relationship with Christ right now. But it's not going to compare with that relationship we have that day. But it will still be a personal relationship. And that's what this rock implies right here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our name is written in the book of registration. It's written in the book of the reservation. It's written in the rock. But it's also written in the book of remembrance. Go, if you will, to the book of Malachi. Matter of fact, next to the last chapter in the Old Testament, the last book, Malachi chapter 3, we'll read a verse there. By the way, along with that new name also comes that new nature.
That's right.
Amen. Those things aren't the same anymore. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord. Notice it didn't say them that was church members, them that were preachers. Them that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. You ever see a dog's ears stand up? He hears something, don't he? Son, God's ears perked up when he heard this bunch talking. Listen, and a book of remembrance was, what's that next word?
Written
before him. Where's that at? Heaven. For them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Ooh, glory to God. My memory gets worse every day, it's obvious. But you know something? Nothing you ever do for God will ever be forgotten by him.
Amen.
Because you have a personal portfolio of remembrance before God Almighty. Noah was floating around in that ark 150 days in that water. You know what the Bible says suddenly? And God remembered Noah. Now that by no means meant that he had forgotten him. Amen. What it means is the time had come for God to recognize Noah and the work that he did, for after all, it was he that built the ark. Amen. There is a book of remembrance. Amen. Now, God doesn't have a problem remembering anything like you and I do. But these things are written in heaven as a testament for your service and my service of Christ in this life. You say, preacher, I haven't done very much for him. Well, do you really think I've done a lot? I don't feel like I've done a lot. I had a fella call me one time, and he was just a weeping, and he said, preacher, he said, I'm just not humble. I don't feel like I've done anything for God. I said, well, listen, son, if you recognized or felt that you was humble, then the last thing that you would be humble. And I said, if you recognized everything in your life that God used, then you'd have something to brag about. But you never know how God uses us in this life. And when we allow Him to use us, I'm going to tell you something. I've told people for years, my wife will be way ahead in line of me at heaven when we get ready to go in that city. She'll be way ahead of me, even though she's not bright. She wouldn't have married me if she would. Go out there picking peas, coughing at you, you know. But nevertheless, she's got a very pure heart. If you know her, you know that. She's going to be up there. Me, I'm just ornery. But nevertheless, if God was able to get anything accomplished through me, He ain't going to forget it.
That's it.
It's written down in heaven.
Hey.
Got my name on it there. And when the books are opened, well, what do you know? Here's old Donnie Murphy. Here's old Raymond in the Book of Life. Oh, not only that, look at this other book over here. How Raymond allowed me to use him in his life.
Amen.
And to make him a blessing to other people as a part of the work of God in the house of God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I'm glad that God doesn't forget. Don't you? Amen.